Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's episode of Afternoon Satsang, offering our most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. This is Prem and Arvind from Team Radio Sai, joining you again for another beautiful session of satsang from our studios in Prashanti Nilayam. Last week, we started speaking about one of Swami's major projects. Swami has done a lot of humanitarian work. One of the largest water projects that Swami had executed was the water project in the metropolis of Chennai. That's what we were talking about last week. Much of last week, we spoke about the history of the city of Chennai, the history of that is related to Swami, the number of times that Swami has visited, the long connection that Swami has with the people and devotees from Chennai. That's what we spoke about. And, of course, we gave you a historical view of the water crisis the city has been facing because of the geographical position of the city and because of the, to put it the least, the inefficiency of the governing, the various governments which have been ruling there ever since the independence of India. We are going to be talking about the details of the project itself, and of course there are many other things related to that. Hopefully this session will be revealing to many of us. Some of us are aware of the project, some of us are aware of whatever has happened in terms of the numbers, in terms of the magnitude of the project, but definitely there is always so much to learn from what Swami has done, and that will be our endeavor, not only to speak about the project, also about what we can carry as a message from the acts that Swami has performed, because as Swami has always maintained, Swami's life is his message. So there is no way that you can look at Swami's message, you can relate Swami's message and share about Swami's message without taking home a message. So with that brief introduction, let's invite Arvind to join all of us. Sairam Arvind.
Sairam Prem. And whenever we look at Swami's projects, there are some things that strike us immediately and some things that strike us on a little contemplation. One thing that has always struck me is the fact that Bhagwan began all his projects well after his 60th birthday or the 65th birthday maybe. You know, that makes it very clear that even these projects are just one other way of expression of divine love and compassion. They are not the sole objective of the avatar. They are possibly a means by which Bhagwan brought together devotees from different spheres of life, different professions and different walks of life under his umbrella. Rather than look at a hospital that Bhagwan has built as a project which required doctors and patients and nurses and technicians, etc., I will look at the hospital as a result, as a boon that has been bestowed by Bhagwan on his devotees who were patients, doctors, technicians, etc. So it is almost like when the avatar began to gather critical mass in terms of numbers. This is very important to stress, only in terms of numbers, because in terms of the quality of devotees, there has been no dearth. We have seen how even from the 1930s, 1940s itself, we had devotees of such caliber coming to Bhagwan. But in terms of numbers, as the avatar grew, it became evident that just the morning and evening darshans and interviews would not be sufficient for Bhagwan to physically share his love, blessings and compassion and grace onto the thirsting thousands and millions. And that is why possibly at quite a late stage in the avataric career, he began with these projects. Because with one project, so many could directly and indirectly come under the umbrella and get the opportunity of physical interaction with Bhagwan. Be it when Swami addressed the doctors or he visited the hospital, or even if we talk of the educational projects, when he went to the university, visited not just the students who studied, the students who couldn't, who applied and were not able to study, they were also impacted, the parents of the students who studied and the extended families of the students, and that impact we are seeing even to this day. So Swami's projects were yet another expression of his love and grace, just like a ring or a pinch of ash is an expression of love and grace. That is one thought that comes to my mind. And the second thing is, actually it is the second observation, it highlights the first observation only. And that is the manner in which Bhagwan went about his projects. Unlike the worldly way of executing a project where you study what is the problem and then you see what is your finance, what is your capability skill-wise and finance-wise. After that, you decide how much of the problem can be solved and then you start deploying the resources and then finally you announce the project. That is how in the worldly sense a project is executed. But when we look at Swami, the way he has executed various projects, including the Chennai one, it has been so sudden in a worldly sense because Swami just announces the project. There is a need and the moment the need is there, Bhagwan says that I am stepping in to take care of this need. And people who are with Swami in the trust, who are talking to Bhagwan on a daily basis, even they are left wonderstruck as to, oh my God, where did this come from? How are we going to do this? Because it is not as if at least the inner circle of Bhagwan knew that this project is going to come up. It would pop out like that. That is what we noticed in the case of the first super speciality hospital at Prashanthinilayam, where Swami on his birthday simply announced that I'm going to build a hospital which will give free treatment. Not only was the idea of the hospital unknown, the concept of a tertiary care center being totally free of cost was unknown to the whole world itself. So that is the way Bhagwan goes about his project, because the moment the need is there, it is spontaneous. And the solution that Bhagwan gives is not partial. I remember reading in a book written by Professor Kasturi about when Swami had got that famous 1963 stroke, paralytic stroke. Mm-hmm. So when in that book he writes that they got to know that Swami had taken over the stroke of some devotee, you know. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they were wanting Swami to tell who is that devotee. And Swami said, I'm not going to name that devotee, you know, because I don't know what will happen to him, you know, possibly if he is named. So when Swami did not name, Kasturi sir writes that people went about trying to find, you know, people who are slightly stricken, who are looking little limping and, you know, possibly are they the devotees who have been, saved by Bhagwan. And Swami smiles and laughs and replies saying that, do you think when I take over a stroke, I will partially take over? I mean, like 80% stroke I'll take over and leave behind 20% so that he can be limping around. No, you won't even know. You won't be able to make out who is the person whom I've taken over because that person himself won't know it. And again, as I say, these projects are nothing but an extension of what he has been doing all his life. And that's why even in his projects, it has always been like that. When Swami comes up, Swami won't say that I have decided that I should solve this problem and therefore, basing on my resources and my capability and my connections, I think I will solve about 5% of this problem and I will show how you can do it. It's not like that. Swami takes it up and completes it wholly. And that is what famously inspired, that is what inspired one of our brothers to state that the way Swami works is, Swami's projects always begins with compassion in the heart, which translates into passion in the belly. You know, there is a fire in your belly to do it. And finally, it results into innovation in the head. Because each of Bhagwan's projects, as we shall see even in the case of the Chennai Water Project, involves innovation at all levels, at the human resource level as well as the technology and technical level, which makes it a marvel and something of amazement to everybody. So that is the way Bhagwan executes his projects. Compassion in the heart, passion in the belly, resulting in innovation in the head, which solves the entire problem.
No, I recall one of the talks which was given in Swami's presence. One of the visiting faculty of our university, he had the opportunity to represent Swami's works in the World Water Forum, which was held in Kyoto in Tokyo. I think it was in the year 2007 or something. then because
in Kyoto or Tokyo? Okay,
Kyoto. It's a place called Kyoto, Kyoto.
In Japan.
In Japan, where this World Water Forum was held, and he wanted to speak about, I think the Chennai Water Project was still in progress at that time, so he had gone to represent the Anantapur Water Project and the the Medak
Mahbubnagar
Project. He wanted to speak about that. So he was, I think, scheduled to speak after a few other international speakers, and he was noticing the pattern in which everybody was speaking, in the sense of, what is the expenses involved in doing a water project like this, what are the various financial models that are available, and what is the payback time when you do a project like this, from the point of view of a government which is doing it or an NGO which is taking this up, what kind of models of fund solicitation that can be done, and public private partnerships and all of that. So he was sitting there and he felt that, oh God, it's all about money. Even good work is all being referred to in the form of, what is the financial outlay in a project like that. So he says that he put away the paper which he had, which with the typical address that he had written, and he got up and he said, I don't want to tell you about the project as a case study, but I'm going to tell you a love story, he said. That's how he started. Imagine in a UN body like that. He said, I want to tell you a love story. And that's why he went on to say that, just quoting him, he said, this is a love story. The whole project started as a love story, how one person's love and compassion for a large number of people who were suffering without water was responsible for ensuring that water was permanently available for them through the project. And that's how he started it. And he was saying that when, of course, he after that presented numbers and all that. And the thing was, after the presentation, everybody came and said, who is this person? What is his, why did he do such a big project? And what did he gain from that? And, where did he get all the money from? So he was saying that, that is the uniqueness of Swami's project. Yes, there are so many projects happening all over the world and NGOs and governments doing all kinds of welfare projects. But this is typically nothing but a love story. Somebody is saying, and that's precisely what Swami told the Anantapur people when they came to offer their gratitude. And much later we're going to see when the people from Chennai came to offer him gratitude. Swami just said, I'm happy that I could give water to my children. That's all he said. It's purely nothing but Swami's love, as you said, expressing in the form of a project and nothing more than that.
By now, I think we have gone a little ahead in the story. Actually, the story had a beginning with a bang. And it all began on the 19th of January 2002. It was the first year anniversary of the Grand Sri Satsai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences at Bangalore. Any normal human being, at this point in time, if we look at what Swami had done in the past 8-9 years, apart from creating a world record mammoth Anantapur drinking water supply project, which covered over 731 villages and brought drinking water to the doorstep of 1.5 million people, Swami had also extended that project and extended the same facility to another million people in the districts of Medak and Mahbubnagar. On top of that, Swami had begun the construction and completion of another tertiary care Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, the Super Speciality Hospital at Bangalore. It had run for a year. All this having been done in the past 5-6 years, any normal human being, I think, will just take a breather. But this is not a normal human being we are talking about. This is not even a superb human being we are talking about. We are talking about the avatar. And for the avatar, action never brings tiredness, For the avatar, rest is in just doing the action in the perfect manner possible as an example for the entire humanity. That is what it is. Swami would himself say, change of work is rest. That is how Bhagwan seems to function, and that is what happened. On this anniversary, when anybody would sit and soak in the glory, grandeur and joy possibly of the whole thing running so smoothly, when Bhagwan got up to speak, there was a kind of anguish in his voice. And that anguish expressed itself as an announcement that nobody expected to hear even in their wildest dreams, if I can put it that way. I think before we proceed ahead with our discussion, we should hear that one excerpt of what Bhagwan spoke during the first year anniversary, that is the 19th of January 2002, of the Sri Satsai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences at Bangalore. That morning, during the function, which had many, many important dignitaries and people on stage, I think Dr. Noah Samara of World Space was there. I think Dr. Michael Nobel, the grandson of Dr. Alfred Nobel, he was there, and many others. You know, there were several other people on dais that day as Bhagwan made this announcement.
Bhagwan has willed another at this sacred moment of time.
Madras Rastram Lopala, Tragadaniki Neeru Ledu.
There in the state of Tamil Nadu, Madras, there is no water.
ఏదో ధనవంతులు లారీలతోనో లేక బండ్లతోనో తెప్పించుకుని త్రాగలుగుతున్నారు.
రిచ్ పీపుల్ కెన్ అఫోర్డ్ టు బై వాటర్ ఫ్రమ్ లాంగ్ డిస్టెన్స్.
ఈ బీద ప్రజలు ఏ నీటిని కొనుక్కోగలరు?
హౌ డు ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ పూర్ పీపుల్ టు బై వాటర్?
తన ప్రాణాన్ని నిలుపుకోగలరు?
హౌ కెన్ దే కంటిన్యూ టు లివ్?
కనుకనే వర్షంతో పడినటువంటి ఆ గుంతల్లో నీరు త్రాగి ఆరోగ్యాన్ని పాడు చేసుకుంటారు.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దే జస్ట్ డ్రింక్ ద వాటర్ దట్ ఆస్ దేర్ ఇన్ పిట్స్ దేర్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద రెయిన్ అండ్ స్పాయిల్ దేర్ హెల్త్.
కనుకనే ఎంత నష్టమైనా సరియే, ఎంత కష్టమైనా సరియే, మెడ్రాస్ కంతా కూడా మంచి నీరు అందించాలని నేను
Let it be very difficult. Let it be a stupendous, magnificent task. Bhagavan has decided to supply drinking water.
ఇది తప్పక నెరవేరుతుంది.
It is bound to be successful.
దీనికి సందేహమే లేదు.
Don't doubt it.
ఆ దృఢమైనటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని మానవుడు అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
You should have strong faith in these things.
So that was the discourse which Swami gave during the first anniversary celebrations of the Sri Satsai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Whitefield. And I still recall, I think even you were a student in Vrindavan that time when it happened, when people came back and said this was Swami's announcement. It was absolutely out of the blue. I think nobody had even a whiff that something like this is coming, and Swami really...
I think only the senior most students were allowed to go for the function.
Yes, I think not all of us were attending that. We were,
because it was so packed and so much of a security... exactly. Issue, yes.
Right. And generally, I think Swami does not celebrate anniversaries. You know, that's why they were also surprised that Swami agreed. Maybe Swami agreed because he wanted to make this announcement. Because very rarely Swami celebrates anniversaries of institutions.
Yeah,
that was, I think, one rare occasion when Swami chose to celebrate the anniversary. And Swami made this announcement.
Interestingly, Prem, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just checked it. 1981, 19th January, 19th January happens to be the anniversary of Sundaram as well.
Right.
So, it's a very, very interesting coincidence in that manner that as two decades of Sundaram is being completed, Swami is blessing it with this project.
Right. For those of our listeners who don't know what Sundaram is, it is Swami's mandir in this city of Chennai. Because I recall one of our staff members in the institute would say that first time when he came and joined the institute, in that time he had no clue about Swami. So in the interview, the vice chancellor asked him, "Do you know Sundaram?" And he asked, "Who is that?" So if anybody in our audience, in our listeners, don't know what Sundaram is, it's a beautiful mandir in Chennai. Again, whenever Swami would visit there thereafter, after 1981, Swami stayed there. It's a very beautiful, even now it's one of very beautiful buildings there, just like how we have Shivam in Hyderabad and Satyadeep in Mumbai, you have Sundaram in Chennai.
And recently, when I had been there, recently meaning 1 year back, there are some amazing vibhuti manifestation miracles that are happening at Sundaram. Right. So yeah, that is about Sundaram. And Swami made this announcement there in the super speciality hospital, and I'm sure everybody was taken aback, because this was not something that had been discussed. This was not a project that had to be announced, and it was done spontaneously. And as Swami said in multiple discourses later and before also, Swami would say how his heart had melted when he saw these children drinking from pits and drinking impure water. Because when there was drought that was happening in Chennai, not only did the reservoirs go dry, the water table itself shrank and went so deep that all the bores and bore wells that usually people, the poor people especially, would draw water from, they all went absolutely dry. So that is what had happened. And one more beautiful thing about Swami is that it is not a case of sympathy. It is not somebody sitting at a higher level and looking at somebody at a lower level and feeling for them. It is a case of empathy. It is a case of a person feeling the pain that the other one is feeling. And even in a physical sense, it's true for Bhagwan, because as we had discussed during our satsang on the Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and as we see in Swami's early life, Swami himself faced this problem of not having a water supply at home. He himself would walk, would trek for kilometers on a daily basis and fetch water from wells. And how? And we know that Swami's shoulders got grazed and bruised. They had got swollen because of constantly carrying the stick on which two water buckets or water pots would be suspended. He would draw water from the well and get it for household use. So in that sense, it was pure empathy, because Bhagwan knew what is the pain of having to wait and fetch water. More than quarter of the day goes waste in that. It goes waste in the sense you can't do anything else because you're thinking about and working for getting drinking water. And that is a very, very pitiable condition, which apparently had not moved anybody else in the nation. But Swami was so moved that he spontaneously declared it. As we discussed earlier, it was the compassion in the heart that came out, and the passion in the belly could be sensed in the way Bhagwan spoke. And Swami, even before taking the first step towards the project, already said that this is definitely going to get completed, whatever be the obstacles that come. And this is not the way Swami spoke when he said about the other projects, when he's declared about the hospital project or the drinking water supply project for Anantapur. It's very prophetic, because after all, let us remember, it is the avatar. When the avatar says something, because this project would definitely have a lot of difficulties that would come in its face. But Swami had already said, irrespective of what the difficulties come, this project is definitely going to happen. And that is what was going to happen, because a few months later, when it was the Ugadi and Tamil New Year combo in Vrindavan itself, Bhagwan said that members from the trust had approached different bodies, and everybody were so thrilled and inspired by this act of Bhagwan. Some different people in their own way decided to come forward and help in this project. But Swami made a point very strongly on that day, saying that when you wish to do something, all you need is to have purity of intent and pure love. Selflessness. Pure love is nothing but selflessness. As Swami beautifully defines, love is selflessness, self is lovelessness. Swami said, all you need is just purity of intent and this selflessness. Everything will come together to make it happen. And it was almost as if Bhagwan was ready to be the, in quotes, the guinea pig to show that this theory works. And that is how, when there was nothing planned, there was no funds kept aside for it, there was no idea at all, Swami announced a huge mammoth project, a project which we had discussed last week, that multiple state and central governments hadn't been able to resolve, hadn't been able to solve this problem. Such a project Bhagwan declared, and within 2 months of it, Swami also already said that the project is going to start.
Right. I mean, what we spoke about, that project and the bottlenecks it faced when the government was trying to do it, was clearly, you know, what was lacking, which Swami was bringing in. It was not the resources, because resources even the government had. And it's not only monetary, even the other resources the government had, you know, there was water, they knew where to get it from. The plan was in place. Partly the execution was in process, but it did not happen because it lacked what Swami was bringing into the picture here, which was again that kind of passion and compassion and a form of leadership which was so focused. I mean, looking at it purely from the point of view of the organizational skills which went into the project being executed. You know, going back to that World Water Forum, one of the conclusions that they came to after studying the Anantapur Water Project was this, that if there is local leadership, focused leadership, there much, much more can be achieved than what it is achieved today. And single-handedly a person could give, I mean, that was only about those two water projects. The Chennai Water Project was not even being counted. And that was what Swami was bringing to the fore, because the moment Swami said, I recall another talk which Mr. L.N.T. Ramakrishna, he was formerly the CEO
of Larsen and Toubro.
He's no more with us. He had mentioned this in one of his talks in Swami's presence, I think.
I think he was only involved in all the three water projects.
All the three water projects, and of course in many other constructions in the ashram, he was very, very devoted person too. So he was telling this, that, you know, as a person who is looking at the project as a head of the organization, he was saying that there is a different kind of energy when Swami takes up a project. And when he's saying different kind of energy, it's not only about the trust or the people who are overseeing it from Swami's point of view. You're saying even from the people who are working in the ground, even those laborers who are working, to the, you know, the mediators, the engineers, or whatever the local workers that are required. He's saying that all of them are charged with a different kind of energy, and he's saying that we can quantify this. We can say that when Swami takes up a project, when you're doing a project for Swami, there seems to be much, much more productivity than otherwise, even though the incentives are the same. From when you look at it in the sense of monetary benefits, the person in the ground is earning. He's saying in spite of that, the kind of commitment, the kind of energy which goes in seems to be much, much more. That is purely the positivity which the whole project brings. You know, of course, the positivity of Swami's presence is definitely something which you cannot overlook. But just the idea that we are working for a project which is not going to benefit an individual, but it is going to benefit the society. He's saying that somehow that seems to seep to the last person working there, and it charges up the whole, workforce.
And also, you know, Prem, selflessness begets selflessness. For instance, I was reading in a book by Dr. Vijay Kumar from Chennai. Now, Dr. Vijay Kumar also interestingly got involved in this Chennai water project because he wanted to do some seva to Bhagwan. He pleaded, and he was given the job of going and photographing the project and bringing photographs to Swami, which he did it so joyously. Now, these are the things that Bhagwan accomplishes through love. People consider it like a great honor and privilege to be able to do that. And it's not like they are the top-notch people. If Swami wanted, the best photographers could have done that for him. But as Dr. Vijay Kumar records, he had a 35mm camera. He would go chant Swami's name thrice and just click. And then the prints came out well, he said. So that is how he did. But he records something very amazing and extraordinary. Most of the workers for the Chennai water project, water supply project, came from the region of Medak and Mahbub Nagar. Now, before I state this, let me also state that Swami's solution was not something different from what the state and the central governments had decided. Till now, a Kandaleru Pundi canal had been dug, but the canal turned out to be a lousy ditch because it was made in that way and it took 13 years to make, and because of which only about 20 to 25% of the water that was released managed to reach the zero point, and even lesser managed to reach the Pundi reservoir. Swami just decided that I'll make this canal pakka, I'll make this canal better. And for that, as I said, most of the workers came from the Medak and Mahbub Nagar districts of Andhra Pradesh. And in his interactions, Dr. Vijay Kumar found out that most of these people hadn't even seen Bhagwan once in their life, but they had great love for Swami, and they worked without complaining, in fact with a smile on their face, even though temperatures outside soared to as high as 43 degrees Celsius in the hills. They were ready to work as a labor of love, because they said, when asked what was their motivation, they said, you know, for generations we have been suffering with fluorosis and different kinds of disease and lack of water. And here is a being who is not related to us in any manner. Simply he came and did this for us, and now we know how good we are, how wonderful we are feeling, you know, because of the Medak water project. They said that when he's doing the same for somebody else, we would love to pay back our gratitude to him in some way possible, so that is why we want to do this.
I think I'll just add a little to that, the same thing, because I recall a very beautiful interaction which happened when Swami used to come and stand in the portico and talk to all the students. In front of Ganesha, he would stand, sometimes they would put a chair and Swami would sit there and talk for hours together. On one occasion, Swami told us this. Swami was telling about this very thing, that there are a lot of people from Mahbub Nagar who have gone there to work because they were so grateful, they wanted to express their gratitude. And Swami was telling that L&T Ramakrishna came and told me that, like, these people are working there. And Swami said, it's not that they're working for free. They said, you know, we wish we could do that, but we are laborers and we cannot, you know, offer our services free. But instead of working anywhere, we'll come and work for Swami. And definitely the way they worked was not like how they would work for any other, you know, wage. And Swami was saying that I was so happy to hear that. And I sent saris and dhotis for them when I came to know that they're all working there.
And, so wonderful. No, the thing is, we notice this happening whenever, whether it's for dams or whether for such projects of a large magnitude, when you use concrete, the concrete curing has to go on continuously, on a continuous basis. It doesn't stop for day or night. And when it came to that, the concrete curing especially of this entire canal, you know, we will talk in detail after a little time about how the actual work went on. But in this concrete curing thing, when continuously labor force was needed, without batting an eyelid, without complaining about anything, without even demanding overtime, you know, Larsen and Toubro India Limited are good paymasters and they definitely paid. But the workers never even asked on their own, because they definitely wanted to do this as an offering of love for Swami. And Dr. Vijay Kumar records in his book that it was praiseworthy the way they worked tirelessly and continuously, especially when it came to the concrete curing time. So that is the difference I feel between Swami doing the project versus a government or somebody else doing the project. When there's absolute selflessness, it automatically elicits selflessness from everyone involved and even those who are not involved also. Everyone becomes selfless, and that selflessness is able to do the magic. That is the reason why Bhagwan is able to complete a project in 13 months, what government of a country and government of a state together could not do properly in 13 years. What actually happened in the project is again very, very interesting. But dear listeners, we'll take a quick little break, and on the other side of the break, we'll continue with how the project progressed and some more interesting stories from the Chennai Water Supply Project.
Thank you. ஆண்டவையாண்டது எந்தனை கொடுத்ததோ உந்தது என கணக்கோ இது ஏறும் புரியாது உன்னை முழுதாய் உணர்ந்தவையாண்டது எந்தனை கொடுத்ததோ உந்தது என கணக்கோ இது ஏறும் புரியாது உன்னை முழுதாய் உணர்ந்தவையா
Welcome back, dear listeners. And if you're wondering, yes, that is a song sung by M.S. Subbulakshmi, a beautiful Tamil Kirtan on Swami. Coming back to the Chennai Water Project that we're talking about, as we said, when Swami announced the project, Swami asked the engineers to immediately look at all the options available to provide water to Chennai. And one of the things they came up with was this project which was in limbo for so long and which was not executed properly, the Kandaliru Pundi Canal. So I think they came back and reported to Swami that, you know, this is the project which was tried, and maybe reinforcing this project is one of the most time efficient ways of providing this water. And when Swami was looked at all of the options, and then Swami was confident that this is the one which is going to help the people of Chennai, I think that's what Swami will always say, that, you know, don't worry about the money. The fastest way and the most
efficient
and time tested, I mean, it should not be a project which will last for a few years, a few decades. It should be a solution which is permanent. And that's what Swami would often say. That's what clearly Swami said even during the Anantapur project. Swami said it should not be about digging some wells or, you know, getting water for a few months or during the winter time, during the summer or anything like that. It should be a perennial project, and it should be something which stands the test of time. So the moment Swami was convinced that this project would, satisfy all those conditions, those are very dear to Swami, and then Swami gave the go-ahead to redo the entire Kandaliru Pundi Canal, if you could say that.
You know, when you look at these projects and the cost estimates, for example, the Anandpur drinking water supply project, 300 crores. Actually, 300 crores is nothing for the government, you know. It's hardly like, it's like pocket change, literally, when you see about how much is being, like, recently when the central government announced roads for throughout the country, over 5 years in phases, they would release 84 lakh crores. 84 lakh crores, you know. That's huge. See, that is the kind of financial outlay they have, and 300 crores is nothing at all. It's huge for the trust, definitely. But from a government point of view, it's so little. And I think, and if you see the impact, you know, 730 villages, I'm talking about the Anandpur drinking water supply project, 730 villages completely and permanently cured of their drought and scarcity of water. So it makes me wonder why doesn't the government do this? I mean, the government is in place to do such things only, and you have such huge amounts of money at disposal, and without blaming a person or a group of individuals, it all boils down to selfishness in man. It's all about how I can benefit myself first, then think of my family next, and all others, if at all something remains, let's think of it, you know, some way or the other. That is the root cause, and that's why I think Swami did these projects, not just to bring water or bring healthcare or educare to somebody, but it's about showing as an example for humanity that when there is selflessness, actually there is enough resource in the world, there's enough intelligence in the head, there's enough everything that man requires to solve all of world problems, if only man is able to solve his problem of selfishness and greed. As Mahatma Gandhi said, the world has enough resources for everyone's need, but it doesn't have enough for even one man's greed. That is what it is. It's about being selfless, and that is what I feel Swami showed. That's why the project, as you said, was done in exactly the same manner, the same solution only. But it worked out. So there were different tasks that had to be achieved. One of them involved strengthening the works and improvement of the bund, at Kandaleru. So, to just give a little background, the Kandaleru Reservoir is in Andhra Pradesh, is in the Nellore district of Andhra Pradesh. And from there, the canal moved southward, the Telugu Ganga Canal, so that it can supply water to all the other regions in the to the south of this Kandaleru Reservoir. Further south comes the state of Tamil Nadu. And as we had discussed last week, the two movie Cine Stars and Chief Ministers, MGR and NTR. MGR agreed to pay a hefty sum, 500 crores,
right,
so that NTR will ensure that water flows further south from Andhra Pradesh into Tamil Nadu as well. So one of the first things that was done was to strengthen the bund and improve the Kandaleru Reservoir itself so that it can hold more water and withstand drought-like conditions even if they occur for one or two continuous years.
Right, and apart from strengthening the bunds of the reservoir itself, I think its capacity itself was increased 3 times because apart from the initial project of the Kandaleru, what NTR had come up with, they found that there is another reservoir, excess water of it invariably almost every year is let to go into the ocean.
So from the Somashila Reservoir.
So they thought even that could be diverted. But for that to be diverted to the Kandaleru, the capacity of the Kandaleru tank had to be increased. And that was also done under this project. And that's how I think its capacity was enhanced from the earlier 16 TMC to 59 TMC. I mean, that's enormous in itself. That was itself a project of redoing the entire lining of that canal.
And it's not just about increasing the capacity. The entire dam walls, the Kandaleru, it underwent a process of concrete gunneting. If you search for this process of gunneting, they use a gun, a kind of a gun, a concrete gun, a gun that shoots concrete, okay, and mixes water at a correct proportion, mm-hmm, and also sand, moist sand, and it shoots it on the wall with such pressure that it sets into a reinforced concrete very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite a laborious process and it takes quite a lot of time and it costs. But the entire walls of the Kandaleru Reservoir were gunneted and also a kind of polythene sheet fitted so that seepage from Kandaleru Reservoir is reduced to the least. There was no seepage or there was no loss. The only losses from the Kandaleru Reservoir would be via evaporation. That nobody can stop unless you make an indoor indoor reservoir.
Right.
So that was done to the Kandaleru Reservoir. After that, the Kandaleru Pundi Canal itself had to be redug. You know, deepening and widening are just terms that mislead us into thinking that some canal was there and it was improved. There was nothing there. The canal had to be redug because when it simply dug and left with the rains, that too over 13 years, with each rain, more and more fills up. You know, even recently near Puttaparthi, we are seeing this canal that has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I am seeing that in a span of 1 year itself, almost 10% of the canal is gone. Because it has not been reinforced, it's just a big ditch. And with every rain, more rock, more mud, everything falls in, because of which the canal keeps getting covered. And I feel in a matter of 10 years, even this canal that has been dug near Puttaparthi, the huge canals, will just get filled up. So there, they had to almost dig out the canal and then begin lining it with a special geomembrane. That is amazing. A high-density polyethylene sheet was brought and first a layer of concrete, then these sheets, and then another layer of concrete, so that once again, even throughout the length of the canal, the only water losses will be due to evaporation and nothing else. There will be no seepage at all. The seepage was almost brought to zero. That was another thing that was done, apart from strengthening and improving the Kandaleru Reservoir itself.
And, you know, when you talk about concretizing the entire canal, I mean, there's a very beautiful documentary that was produced, I think, many years ago, and I think even Swami saw that. When you say concretizing, it's an enormous task. It's a huge canal. I mean, you're talking of a canal which is, I think, easily
125 kilometers long.
Kilometers long, and
out of which 65 place, kilometers was almost non-existent.
Right, and at each place, the depth of the canal or the the slant of the canal itself will be easily, I think, 40 feet or more than that in some places.
Hmm.
So it's like you're building a wall that big. And it's not just concrete, it's concrete and then this membrane which will stop seepage and another membrane, another layer of concrete. So I think, I mean, if you look at that video, it was not normally like how you do plastering of a wall. They had this huge
pavers,
what they called pavers. It's used for this kind of construction where they kind of enormous amounts of concrete is poured, and as it is being poured, it gets leveled with these pavers. And this pavers itself was not extensively used in India at that point in time. And simultaneously about 9 pavers were used. You know, that was a record from the point of view of the construction industry itself. L&T itself has never done that sort of work. That's what they say. And that was the amount of work which was done, because Swami had told that I want it as soon as possible. It's not about, you know, you can take your own time and we can't wait for another 13 years.
This is what I mean by, you know, compassion in the heart, moving into passion in the belly, translating into innovation in the head. In fact, in another interview, Ramakrishna sir from Larsen & Toubro, he states that L&T itself has been able to pick up and learn many innovative building practices thanks to Swami's projects. Because of the absolute time frames that have been set and the goal that have been set, they are forced to innovate, and that kind of innovation has happened because of Bhagwan's inputs also. You know, in this case, the idea of bringing water from Somashila Reservoir also as an add-on to act as a buffer during drought months, brilliant idea. But that involves cost, because apart from doing the canal now, you have to take up and redig the entire Kandalero Reservoir. But as we have discussed again and again, Swami did not stop at that. He went ahead and did that also. So a lot of innovation was brought in, even this high-density polyethylene membrane. I think it was one of its first in India to be have done like that, the use of these pavers. All this was done, and the result can be seen. What the Andhra government had taken 13 years to do, Bhagwan completed it to perfection in just 13 months. And in this period, about 1.3 million cubic meters of soil had been excavated, about 110,000 cubic meters of silt removed. Silt is the deposits in the bottom of the canal. About 76,000 cubic meters of hard rock had to be excavated, dug out. 18,000 cubic meters of stone masonry were done, 81,000 cubic meters of stone revetment done, and 1.8 lakh cubic meters of concrete gunniting, that's what I said, you know, shooting concrete. All this was done, and just at an estimated cost of $60 million, which is hardly anything at a government level. So it showed that what we are lacking when we do projects is not the financial resources, it's not as if India is a poor country, it's not anything else but the will to do it and the selflessness and pure intention to do it. In everything that we do, we want to see what is the gain that I will get. Then I don't think that we'll ever be able to accomplish something like this. That is why, you know, this is a miracle of pure love. Bhagwan did not wave his hand and materialize this. He just showed that if you are selfless and pure, it will happen, a miracle will come. It was miraculous in that kind of, in terms of the impact, in terms of the result that it achieved, a perfect canal. It is miraculous in the time frame in which this perfect canal was achieved, 13 months. That is how the Kandaleru Pundi canal was built. I mean, not actually Kandaleru Pundi, from Kandaleru to the zero point, that is the border between Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. That much was built in the first phase by the Sri Satsai Central Trust.
And for those of us who might think that, you know, this is a project that Swami announced, Swami sanctioned, and Swami said, okay, spend this much money, and he assigned the work to L&T and he sat back. That's not how Swami works. Swami would go into every detail of that. You know, we've been a witness to this. You know, we've been fortunate to be there. We've seen Swami discussing in the portico. Sometimes he'll come and sit in the porch, he will come and sit, or in the bhajan hall, when Swami would call so many times. You know, I recall personally seeing there 3 or 4 times Swami will call L&T Ramakrishna, Mr. Kundal Rao, and few other engineers of the L&T team, whom Swami would interact with on a regular basis, to the extent of, you know, how many kilometers of pipeline has to be procured, what is the cost, and, you know, where you're getting it from. In each of these details, in fact, the other thing, apart from just doing the canal, I think the L&T team was saying that 3 escape structures in the case of flooding Of course, it was a case of not having enough water. But if at all you have a situation of enormous amount of water coming to the Kandaleru tank and you're supposed to release all of that, in case of such flooding, what will you do? 3 escape structures were made. In case in future there's a flooding, how you will handle that?
That is very important because recently I was reading of reports of how due to unseasonal and heavy rain, some reservoirs got filled, and just because they're getting full and the dams and reservoirs may be at danger of collapsing, the water is just released, leading to unexpected flooding in the lower lying areas, you know. Yes. So when these reservoirs are built, it is so important to plan the other case also, you know, not only a plan for the case of drought wherein you're getting water from Somashila. What if there's excess rain and the reservoir starts overflowing? There should be some outlet which is harmless and doesn't destroy the people in that area.
Absolutely. And the point I'm trying to make is, you know, the way Swami was involved in each one of these decision making also. It's not like Swami said, okay, I can give you this much money, you get it done and come and report to me. I mean, that probably would be the easiest thing to do for Swami. But the amount of time that Swami gave to the entire project itself, or for that matter, anything that Swami does, and you know, some of the people who have worked with Swami would say that Swami will come every day and ask for progress. You know, that's how the government, you know, any other organization would work. That you come and report to them once in 2 weeks or once in 3 weeks, then you can always give good numbers. But with Swami, it's not like that. Every day Swami will ask, what's new? What's new? Even if it is a small building which is being built. I recall some of the people in the university saying this, the warden and even the people in the hostel. Swami is building something. Every day Swami will come and you'll have to show something new to Swami. You cannot show that, you know, today we just did something which is not visible or some small thing. He said, no, at least to show Swami, they said that they will do something more and something more concrete so that they can show Swami. And that's the amount of involvement. Projects like this, Swami will ask every day, what have you done? How much more has been completed? How much more time left? And, really, Swami would drive them to desperation sometimes, but that would be the amount of involvement that Swami would show.
See, as we said in the beginning, these projects are nothing but an extension of Bhagwan himself. Because isn't this the way Swami is, even when it comes to a music program or a drama? I remember many of our seniors narrating this, and also we ourselves having seen some aspects of this, wherein Swami, when he is taking interest in a convocation drama, he'll come every day and ask, what is the new, what is the next scene, what is new, what is the acting, what has happened, what is the improvement. I mean, we would wonder, like, Swami, we would actually want Swami to give us off for a week, at the end of which we can show some progress which is noticeable. But daily, what do we do? That would actually keep us on our toes. And if at all, you know, when we look back now and see how some of the most magnificent and beautiful cultural programs in Bhagwan's presence were actually conjured up sometimes in a matter of a week or 2 weeks, we realize that the root cause for that is the way Bhagwan would drive. You know, he would make us utilize every hour, every minute that was available. So much so that it was almost like how a PhD scholar will possibly think of his PhD. And I mean a sincere PhD scholar, not any normal PhD scholar. Because if it is a music program for Swami, we would be immersed all the while in that only. You know, when we are not, even when we are eating, even when we are about to sleep, our thoughts are pervaded with that. And, you know, when they say yoga karmasu kaushalam, yoga is doing your action perfectly. Action is not just about bodily action. Action begins as a thought. Because Swami would say, sow a thought, reap an action. Because what we sow as thoughts is what is going to come as action. And if we have to be completely involved in our action, it is so important that we are in the action in the thought level also. You know, sometimes it happens as I'm sitting here and we are having this afternoon satsang. Possibly my phone beeps and there is some message that requires my attention and that distracts me. So though I'm sitting here and doing an afternoon satsang, my thoughts are elsewhere, which means I'm not doing the afternoon satsang perfectly. So therefore, when we say we want to do an action perfectly, our entire thoughts also should be in that. And that is how Swami would make us do anything. So it is not surprising that when it came to even building a room or building the Chennai water supply project, that is how Swami was. He was in thought, word and deed in the project. And that is what he expected and wanted to inspire everyone else involved in the project also to do. In your thought, word and deed, be in this, because that is yoga. Yoga is not about sitting and locking yourself in a room and meditating. Yoga is perfection, and perfection comes with harmony and unity of thought, word and deed.
Many of these school students who were in the 90s, you know, in studying in Swami's school, especially 9th and 10th, and we've spoken about this many times, and Swami would call classes for interview, especially the passing out batches, 10th and 12th, Swami would call them for a class interview, so much so that they thought the students would feel that they're entitled to that, and so they would get upset with Swami if Swami doesn't call them for a, you know, farewell interview or a class interview. Many of these students, when they recollect, they would say that, you know, they would be in 8th standard, 9th standard. But for hours together, Swami would be sitting in the interview room and giving them details of such projects, especially when the water project and the hospital was going, was under progress. Swami would say to minute details how many kilometers of pipeline are being laid and, you know, what is the TMC of water which is going to come. And, you know, sitting there, they would that time feel that, why is Swami telling us all these details? But, you know, when they look back now, they could feel that, you know, Swami was making all of them feel a part of it. You know, that was another way in which Swami would always function. It would not be like, you know, why am I telling this to you? There's nothing for me to gain from you. There's actually nothing for Swami to gain from anybody at any point in time. Swami was only, whatever he would do, it was only a form of him, you know, sharing his joy and expressing himself. And that's why whether it would be an 8th standard student or 9th standard student who's not going to be contributing in any way to that project at that point in time, Swami would just say, because, you know, this is, I am doing this and you're all dear to me, you're all part of whatever I'm doing, so I'm sharing it with you. And that was the feeling with which Swami would always come and share, and it was a different kind of energy altogether when Swami would come and speak about all of these projects, and he would say that so much is happening, and, you know, all of the other stories which we hear of, you know, the student who wanted to give a small amount of money to Swami when he was doing a project. It was all inspired by the selflessness, you know, that Swami saying it not because he wanted some kind of contribution from any of us, but just that after that the students would feel that, you know, we also would like to be a part of this. And that's why when we were students, we might not be able to monetarily be a part of it, because I recall that many occasions when boys would try to put some money in letters and give it to Swami, and Swami would call them out and give it back to them. And Swami would say, I don't want this. I want only your love. I want only your heart. But, you know, when the hospital was coming or during such occasions, Swami would give us the opportunity to at least go and do there some physical seva.
Shramadan.
You know, when the hospital in Parthi was coming, Swami allowed the students to go and clean. When the airport was coming, boys went and, you know, helped in literally laying the runway, apparently. Helping in some things like that. Or for that matter, the Whitefield Hospital, when it was coming, Swami allowed us to go and assemble the beds in the wards. You know, they had come as a freight. We had to open the boxes. And in that way, you know, I think the reason why it's important to look at all of this is, it's not about Swami announcing a project and getting it done. It's about the entire thing, the learning process. You know, what it takes to be a leader, what it takes to drive a project. Not just that project, but simultaneously do all of these things. And an entire personality which Swami represented. I think that's what it shines through in all of these actions of Swami.
And I feel that is the aspect when that will live on forever. That selflessness and that purity. Because honestly, I don't know whether the pipes that have been laid and the concrete that has been put or the taps that have been fitted, 100 years from now, will they be functioning? I don't know. I don't know about that. But the selflessness that has gone in, the purity of love that has gone in, that will stay there forever, you know. That is what I feel is the permanent nature of the project. Because all said and done, the building, if we say that anything that the avatar builds is forever, Swami himself has got those buildings that they have been that have been built broken down, you know. So what do you mean by saying that it's been built by the avatar, so it will stand for millions of years? No. It will stand, meaning, this is my understanding, that the selflessness and the purity and the love that have gone in, that will forever stay, keep inspiring. For instance, today, if we look at Dwarka, the city that belonged to Lord Krishna, that city itself is under the sea. But Lord Krishna is immortal. Lord Krishna's divinity, Lord Krishna's love, Lord Krishna's purity, that is immortal. And I feel that is the message that Bhagwan also gives, gives us, saying that yes, definitely do work, but don't think that these are something permanent. Permanence has to be achieved within. That is what is most important. In fact, at the even at the cost of being a little detour, you know, recently came across certain discourses of Bhagwan wherein Swami is laying down the guidelines for people living in the ashram. Living in the ashram, people working at Prashanthi Nilayam, people who as volunteers, as employees, as whatever. You know, Swami makes it very clear that the sole objective and goal of anybody coming to Prashanthi Nilayam should be moksha. I mean, if I have to tell it in one word. Or realizing the truth, realization, nirvana, enlightenment, whatever you would like to call that term, getting atmabhimanam. That is what Swami says is the sole goal. All other things are done, you know, possibly as a way to engage ourselves or occupy ourselves as we are working on that goal. And so therefore, when we say that Bhagwan has come to give us something permanent, it doesn't mean that my job in Radio Sai is something that's permanent, or me being a volunteer, me staying in this room, West 9, that is my permanent. No, those are all temporary props that are needed as you are achieving what is permanent. We should not forget that. And that is why, you know, Swami says that his projects will be there for thousands of years. As long as man and women are there on earth, the projects will stay. Doesn't mean that this is some brand new quality of tap which will never get spoiled in 1,000 years. It just means that the basis, the selflessness and the purity and the love that has gone in will be there as things that inspire humanity, things that inspire a devotee, things that inspire anybody for as long as time exists.
And coming back to the project, because it's completed, I think the project completed faster than our satsang, I guess. But we'll take a short break, dear listeners, because how the project was completed and the inauguration of the project also has a very sweet detail to it. And we'll conclude with this project after this break. So please don't go away.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Within 13 months, as we said, Bhagwan completed the canal from Kandaleru till the zero point, which is the border of Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. The Pundi canal was another 25 kilometers away, and that 25 kilometers was not done because the political atmosphere was not congenial in a sense. The chief minister of Tamil Nadu, I think it was Jayalalitha at that point in time, she had plans of getting water for Chennai using the Veeranam project, which we had discussed about. That is from the river Kaveri. So adamant was she on her plan that she was not ready to go ahead for the final 25 kilometers. In fact, there was a letter also that the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, that is N. Chandrababu Naidu, he wrote to the Chief Minister of Tamil Nadu, but even that letter did not have impact. I think, Prem, do we have the copy of that letter? We can just read out what is the letter.
I think this was a letter which he had written in May 7th of 2003. And it's very interesting.
May 7th, 2003. Huh.
Right. It's very, I mean, very reverentially written letter by the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh then, who is again the Chief Minister now, Mr. Chandrababu Naidu. He writes, "Dear Dr. Jayalalitha Garu, I have just reviewed the works undertaken for improvement of the Kandaleru-Pundi Canal by Sri Satyasai Central Trust to facilitate drinking water supply to Chennai. I am happy to inform you that with the blessings of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba, the progress of the canal lining work has been both extremely fast and of high quality. With technical support from the government of Andhra Pradesh, the trust has not spared any effort in making this section of the canal most efficient for free flow of water. It has been my pleasure to have overseen the completion of drinking water projects executed in record time by the trust in the districts of Anantapur, Medak and Mehbubnagar in my state. Based on the above experience and track record, I am confident that the concrete lining work on the Kandaleru-Pundi canal is vulnerable in vulnerable reaches will be completed by early August 2003. With the completion of the lining works, Tamil Nadu will be able to draw water more effectively, and I request you to take appropriate measures in the meantime at your end. Members and representatives of the trust will be most happy to apprise you about the project at a time and date convenient to you. With regards, your sincerely, N. Chandrababu Naidu." So this was the letter that he wrote much before the project was officially announced. This was when it was nearing completion that he wrote this, asking her to meet the representatives from the trust and get the her side of, you know, the canal, get whatever work had to be done on that side also ready, so that the project will be complete end to end, that is from Kandaleru to Pundi canal. But as you said, sadly, she was putting her energies and funds in a different place, the Veeranam project. I think even when Swami was doing the Chennai Water Project, Swami considered that also, because that was another project which the government had tried and given up. So looking at all of that, Swami had come to doing this project. But as you're saying, because of the atmosphere not being conducive enough, Swami's water project at that point, the lining of the canal stopped at zero point till the Andhra border was what Swami had done by the end of 2003, in the end of 2004.
But dear listeners, let us not think that this was a kind of block to Swami's project. When Bhagwan takes up anything, even an apparent block is actually his will. Because if you recollect, during the last week satsang, we spoke about how Bhagwan used the Chennai drinking water supply project to also nourish this region of Tamil Nadu with the waters of devotion. Because that is like the permanent project that we speak about. When we say that the taps may not be permanent, but the underlying love is permanent. In the same way, the waters may depend on the monsoon, but the waters of devotion had to be supplied to the state. And we had introduced how Bhagwan used the Chennai water project to spread that devotion in the state. Many times during his Tamil New Year discourses, Swami would refer to the great saints, the Alvar, the Nayanmars of Tamil Nadu, who spread the bhakti movement throughout the state. But then, you know, if we look at the last few decades of the history of Tamil Nadu, it has been beset with many amazing social reformers who seem to have confused social reform with religious intolerance and atheism, in fact. Not just atheism, in fact, it went to the level of being critical and abusive of gods as well. There have been instances where idols of Lord Sri Rama have been garlanded with garlands made of slippers and such. You know, it's insulting and abusive. A state that is known for richness of devotion had fallen to such levels. Of course, the intention behind was social reform, because of misinterpretation of religion, there were some evils, some caste system that had come. Wrong interpretation had led to such kind of trouble, social problems. But you cannot overcome, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will end up in making the entire world toothless and blind. That is not the way that had happened. And because of this, though the people of Tamil Nadu generally by nature are religious and God loving, it became extremely difficult for them to, you know, express or do such devotional activities openly, possibly. Least support from the governments. In fact, the two governments that kept alternating with each other both seemed equally atheistic or anti-God, if we can say so. And in such a prevailing condition that Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, who is revered as God by millions, needed permission apparently to complete his water project. How do you expect a state with its official policy, almost like communism, where you don't believe in God, which is atheistic, how do you expect them to cooperate and actually walk hand in hand with Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba? So that seemed like the blockade, that seemed like the block. But we may not have time to go into that this week. We shall see next week how even this apparent block was a part of Bhagwan's master plan, because Tamil Nadu had, the Chennai water project was not yet complete, because one of its objectives was definitely to bring water to parched Madras. But the deeper and more important objective was to bring back these waters of love and devotion to the parched hearts of millions of devotees there who had been seeking succor and who had been seeking solace from not just decades, but from much more, I mean, not just years, but many more decades. That was the reason, and that is the reason why only the canal could be 80% completed and not 100%.
And in the meanwhile, we told you that when NTR had started this project, he named it the Telugu Ganga, because it was a way of, announcing to the people that we have our own Ganga where we are quenching the thirst of our people. So he named it the Telugu Ganga, and the Andhra Pradesh government, led by Chandrababu Naidu, chose to rename this canal as the Satya Sai Ganga from Telugu Ganga. And you know, there's a beautiful record of this conversation where Swami was one day standing in the portico and talking to students, and Swami said, they've named it Satya Sai Ganga, they did not even tell me. Nanna adugukunda vale pettesaru, Swami said, they did not ask me that, you know, the government wanted to name it after Swami, so they've named it like that. So it's not like Swami did the project and gave it the Sri Satya Sai water project. I mean, in a sense it was a canal which was already there, but the government chose that it was in the appropriateness of things to name it after Swami, and that's how the Telugu Ganga actually became the Satya Sai Ganga, and it stopped at the zero point, and at the point where the border of the two states are there. And so till 2004 the project stood there, and on Swami's birthday, 23rd of November 2004, the water was finally released from the Kandaliru reservoir.
You know, it was almost as if like nature was herself protesting against this man-made block to the divine will. Because as per the letter that was written on May 7, 2003, the project is complete, which means in 13 months the project is complete, but there were no rains. That was a very tough year. Right. There was no rains, and the Kandaliru reservoir, which now had enhanced capacity, was not filled at all. And therefore, water could not be released for almost an year and a half after that. It was on Bhagwan's birthday, 23rd November 2004, that the waters was released from Kandaliru Reservoir, and they reached the zero point, that is the interstate border, on the 27th of November 2004. Interestingly and coincidentally, that year, the 27th of November, happened to be what we call as the star birthday for Bhagwan, the birthday as per the Telugu astrological calendar, and therefore the waters began on one birthday and reached on the birthday according to another calendar in just 4 days. This was itself a miracle. Though the canal was not 100% complete, previously it would take about 12 days for the waters from Kandaliru to reach zero point. Now the efficiency of the canal was such that the waters reached in just a matter of 4 days, and there was a band of about 50 devotees of Bhagwan doing bhajans and Vedam, welcoming the Satya Sai Ganga into Tamil Nadu.
And that's how the project, in a sense, the first phase of the project was completed. It was announced in Swami's presence. It was said that the project has been inaugurated officially. But of course, the story does not end there, as we said, because Swami had envisioned the project, and when Swami envisions it, it's from point to point. It's complete. It's not midway or halfway, like how it is right now. So the project as such is not complete, because there are other interesting events which need to be mentioned. They're not completely connected only to the water project, but when we look at it from a bigger sense, we will know that it was not just a water project. Water project itself was one, as we've been saying in the past 2 weeks, is one part of a master plan which Swami executed, and that will not be complete unless we speak of the events which happened a few years later in the year 2007. But again, we are running out of time. We'll have to come to that next week. So instead of going to the conversations with Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, which we are supposed to next week, I think we'll continue with this so that we can complete it in sort of a two episode satsang which we had planned. I think it's going to become a 3 episode. We'll complete it next week before we go to the satsang on the conversations. So next week when we come back, we're going to talk of how this entire thing
saw from 80% to 100%,
and how it was a completely different completion than what even people who were involved in it envisioned.
On that note, dear listeners, we'll leave you with the song, on the other side of which, as always, will be the segment Love to Love by Brother Chandu. We hope you have enjoyed this. You can always write to us at listener@radiosai.org. Before we leave you, we want to offer this in all humility at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, with gratitude and love. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Sharanam, Sharanam Swami. Sharanam, Sharanam Swami. Kali Yugam Maraya, Sai Yugam Malara, Sai Sharanam. శరణం స్వామి.
இறைவன் அருகில் இருப்போமென்று யாரேனும் கற்பனை செய்ததுண்டோ? இறைவன் அருகில் இருப்போமென்று யாரேனும் கற்பனை செய்ததுண்டோ? எல்லையெல்லாம் கடந்த ஆனந்தமே சரணம் சரணம் சுவாமி. கலியுகம் மறைய சாயுகம் மலர அவதரித்தாயே சுவாமி, அருள் புரிவாயே சுவாமி, அபயம் தருவாய் சாயி. சரணம் சரணம் சுவாமி. மலர்கள் சேரும் பாதங்கள் ஆளும் மானிடம் வேண்டிட நீ கொடுத்தாய். மலர்கள் சேரும் பாதங்கள் ஆளும் மானிடம் வேண்டிட நீ கொடுத்தாய். சாய்ராம் என்றோதும் பரவசமே சரணம் சரணம் சுவாமி. கலியுகம் மறைய சாயுகம் மலர அவதரித்தாயே சுவாமி, அருள் புரிவாயே சுவாமி, அபயம் தருவாய் சாயி. சரணம் சரணம் சுவாமி.